Texas with Steve Beck.
Well, we threatened to come to you from Presque Isle Downs, and we're coming to you from Presque Isle Downs in one of the rather fascinating turn of events. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to fall. It's like somebody threw a switch. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebeck.com. And driving yesterday, we cut out, obviously, the way things ended at Saratoga was not, nobody wanted that. But there's nothing you can do, considering how great of a summer it was, particularly weather-wise. That one, you just sort of grinned and bared it, I guess. The rain kept coming, and it kind of wreaked havoc. There were actually quite a few fairly formful results. The hopeful win, hopeful winner, frankly, was a crazy price. How does that horse pay $15? That was very strange. Forte was so, I won't even say cold on the board, just was being ignored, essentially. I was watching Kentucky Downs and Saratoga in the car, and I think I must have been around Rochester, and I realized Rochester, and I realized I'm probably going to spend the night around Erie. And at the same time, I wanted to get back. Todd Mostoller had called me. And so I thought, you know what? Let me call Todd Mostoller. I wanted to get back and see what happened with the HISA DQ and the hearing when it came to Dufresne. And there's actually some very interesting answer on that. Was thrown out. Mark Guilfoyle had the hearing, and Todd was very pleased with how reasonable and how open they were to hearing the explanation and making the consideration of what Kendra Carmouche was doing and how uncertain it was that there was even a 10th strike. So anyway, so that was part of my motivation to call Todd, and he said he was very impressed with how Mark Guilfoyle and HISA handled the appeal. We'll see what happens with Dave Duggan and drafted, which is a much more significant financial penalty, potentially, not potentially, specifically, compared to the $5,200 that it cost. It was potentially going to cost Commonwealth New Era Racing. But anyway, while I'm talking to Todd, I said, he's HBPA out here and at Penn National. And I said, I'm going to be in Erie, it looks like. I said, I'm going to do a show. I'm doing a show in the morning. I said, I could do it from Presque Isle. And not only, this is the funniest part, he said, let me make a call. And he put me in contact with Matt Enos. And they said, sure, absolutely. And they have a beautiful vantage point, literally at the wire. And I don't see any deer that have marauded from the hills like they did several years ago, right? Happy to be here. And in fact, I've got to add up. On the year even, I think we could figure it out. But Los Al, Del Mar, Santa Anita, Remington Park, New Orleans Fairgrounds, Oak Lawn, 6, both Florida, 8, all 3 New York, 11, Turfway, 12, Keeneland, 13, Churchill, 14, Kentucky Downs, 15, Delaware, 16, Pimlico, 17, Colonial 18. I think that's it. I think this is the 18th racetrack that we've brought at the races to people from. And happy to be here. And now that we know it's here, the opportunity to utilize this vantage point. The craziest thing is I can't stay, but we've got a horse running. Kid Chocolate is running back today again in the eighth race. That same mile, non-winners of three. So, I'd love to stay. It'd be so much fun to be here for it. But it race goes off, I think, at 4:38. That's not going to work. Going to also be joined here by a parade of visitors and to get the local Presque Isle flavor. And the first guest, when Matt Innes said, you know, I said, you're going to join me? And he said, you know what? Maybe we should have our on-air talent. And he said, Patrick Morrell. And I said, you got to be kidding. I said, I know Pat for years. And the only thing, Pat, come sit over here. The only thing missing is, of course, Chuck Simon, our mutual friend. And that's how I know Pat. Too funny and has done a little bit of everything, of course, around the game. And I'm embarrassed. I feel like an idiot saying this. I think this one.
Yep. Yeah, there we go.
I didn't realize you were doing this.
I've done this now for 4 years.
How did I not know this? Why didn't you ever? That's my headset, actually.
Oh, that's yours. Okay, there we go. You turned mine down just a little bit
there. You got it.
Thanks, Steve.
There. How's that?
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, perfect. All right, brother. Yeah, I've been doing it for 4 years. I had the opportunity to come here and do it. I jumped at it. Of course, I grew up about an hour and 45 minutes south of here. We're in Erie County. I grew up in Beaver County, just north, basically northwest of Pittsburgh. So it was just a natural progression for me to be here. And I used to run a lot of horses here, too, with Ron Potts.
Wow.
And Mike Papata. And Mike Rogers. So there was... I pulled a lot of money out of this joint back in the day, and it was a lot of fun. And this place just grew on me exponentially. And when I had the opportunity to become part of this, I was so incredibly excited about it. I know it sounds crazy, but Steve, in all honesty, I mean, it's such a magnificent racetrack.
Yeah.
The vibe here is great. Our fans, we have a couple ladies, literally, they never miss a day of racing.
That's great.
And we have some really, hard as nails kind of fans that come here every day. And I love doing the show for them and love being a part of it. And I think, Steve, sometimes a lot of people don't feel that Presque Isle, they think, it's just a B track. Well, guess what? September 19th, we got the Masters, a grade 2 $400,000 race. There'll be some big boys coming into town.
Yep.
We got the Presque Isle Mile. We got the Dobbins Landing that day. We've got the Gem City that day. We have four stakes on the card. I mean, we're giving away, a lot of money. And, we certainly, represent the Pennsylvania program very, very well here at Presque Isle. And the best part about it, Steve, and I think this is the thing that sometimes a lot of people don't get, is the fact that we are the safest racetrack in America.
Yeah, it's an amazing record. It's an amazing... For those who don't realize, I think one...
We had one
this catastrophic year. Last year.
None last year. And
During
racing. And the fact of the matter is, the one that we did have this year, unfortunately, the horse clipped heels.
Oh,
if the horse doesn't clip heels, then it doesn't.
An incident.
Yes, correct. And that's what I love about this racetrack. I mean, it's just absolutely outstanding. And how these older geldings and mares, you'll see a lot of horses that are older. We have 12-year-olds that are still competitive here, Steve. That's absolutely unbelievable.
The hallmark here, and of course, I would do the for quite a while. Dick Powell was, handling. He still handicaps, but we were also doing conversations, and the regularity with which horses run here is what is certainly a departure. From the majority of racing these days. I mean, the horses come here. If they aren't fit 100% when they get here, they'll certainly be fit at the end. They run...
That's true.
Well, our horse, in fact, here's Kid Chocolate, who ran 2 weeks ago, and he's running right back. I mean, the races, that's the other thing.
He's in the eighth today.
Yes. The racing office runs the book. And so there's races that are just habitually in place... And these horses run back in 2 to 3 weeks with regularity. kind of harness and greyhound style.
Right, right, exactly. So, I mean, it's just a testament to this racing surface, Steve. And, you know, we have Tapita come in quite a bit to make sure everything's okay. If there's anything we need to do, we tweak it, we get it done. Safety is foremost and forefront for us here at Presque Isle, you know, and now being part of the First Family Racing with Churchill Downs, you know, it makes it even more important because we are on that grand stage and we are part of that family. And, you know, especially to me, it's extremely important for a guy who used to own a lot of racehorses. You know, Steve, that's always a fear for all of us that, you know, we have something happen. But that's what's great about this. You can take a breath here. You don't really worry about it that much, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, we've got some very good horsemen here. We've got some up-and-coming horsemen here. And it's a great place to get it done.
Happy to get a chance to review what's gone on this summer. You mentioned the Masters coming up, which has been a fabulous conduit to the Filly and Mare Sprint, a tremendous legacy that essentially vaulted the race to a grade two in very short order.
Correct. No doubt about it. I mean, you see horses like Groupie Doll that have come through here, you know, Hotshot Anna. Informed Decision was
Informed
here.
Decision. Yeah. It's all the same from the same
family. Yeah, exactly. Strawbridge's gang. And I mean, I know a lot of my friends, I mean, I have a lot of, you know, I live in Lexington the other half the time. My girlfriend and I have a townhouse down there. And, you know, she trains here at Presque Isle. And we do the thing. We're not really snowbirds. I wish we were snowbirds, but unfortunately we're not. But, you know, a lot of my friends are like, well, why are you a Presque Isle? Why don't you want to be somewhere bigger? I really, you know, we all aspire to be something greater than what we are. I understand that. But this is home. This is family to me.
Nice.
This means so much to me. I'm so passionate about the racing in Pennsylvania because I am a Pennsylvania bred myself. But I'm, you know, I bought Warrior's Reward, you know, because I'm a bloodstock agent. You know that. I bought Warrior's Reward for my guys in Central PA. You know, he's doing very well. His first crop of two-year-olds are hitting right now. And, you know, we've been fortunate that his horses do run. They have longevity, and they're going to continue on and do well. But this program is outstanding. If you're a breeder, you breed a horse to a PA sire, you get 50% of whatever the horse makes the first time out. It's absolutely outstanding. Yeah. And we do push that here. You'll see a lot of Pennsylvania bred races here too. But don't forget, don't think it's easy. It's not. We have people coming in, you know, from the lesser tracks. They come up here and they do not win very often. It's tough.
You also get the export too, especially here at the end of the season, where there really has become this handicapping culture of the Presque Isle horses coming to Keeneland and running in the fall Keeneland meet, that, you know, that certain class of the first half of the Keeneland cards, that they absolutely come in and they're fit, they're ready and competitive.
That's very true. And if you remember back when Keeneland still had Polly before they switched over back to the traditional dirt, the Presque Isle horses would come down to Keeneland, and these boys absolutely loved it because they're getting pictures at Keeneland. And you know how precious that, I mean, like, that is a big deal. That is something so spectacular to have on your wall if you have a win there, or Del Mar or Saratoga. I mean, it's amazing. But these boys would go down there and just beat them up, literally beat them up. So you would always bet the Presque Isle horses down there. And like you said, obviously, it was the first few races of the card every day that were the cheaper claimers down there because, listen, we all know it's not easy.
Starter
there.
Allowances.
Correct. They would do very well. Mike Rogers, he did extremely well at Keeneland every single year.
Well, give everybody, you know, for those that don't play the signal, what's interesting is that I have not, with the move away from the 5:30 start.
Mm-hmm. Well, 4:45, yes.
It just hasn't kind of flowed, you know, in across the screen for me as it did,
sure,
as
sure,
it, you know, as it had then, and I remember when the decision was made, it was a conscious decision to try to capture a niche that was, you know, kind of a swing time with,
correct,
the Eastern tracks ending and the West Coast, you know, tracks, you know, rolling, try to get in between, and then you kind of shifted away from that.
Yeah, that was a decision made by upper management in regards to that. I think we'll probably revisit that. If it, you know, if it's still where we need to be, then that's where we're going to be. If we need to change it, then I'm sure that Matt would Matt Ennis, our director of racing, would go ahead and do that, but I think that's to be determined, Steve, to be quite honest with you. I know regardless of whether it's 1:30 or 4:45, Steve, I'm just thrilled to pieces to be here, to be quite honest with you. I mean, this, like I said, and I can't stress it enough, this is a very good racetrack and a very competitive racetrack to run at. If you're a horseman and you think you're just going to come up here and beat up on these boys, you've got another thing coming.
It's an interesting mix, too. You know, I know the Tampa circuit feeds into mm-hmm. this quite a bit, and that includes the riders, the jock community, including my guy, Willie Martinez.
Willie, great guy.
The greatest. And, you know, it's just occurring to me. You know, for the longest time, I would always run into you, and I'm realizing that not seeing you corresponds really to you locking in and taking this job, because I would see you at Saratoga, would see
right.
you, you know, on the road. And
exactly, because I used to do the sales a lot. You know, one of my
yes,
best friends
exactly.
has Fort Christopher Starbreds up in Fort Edward, and I would always help Chris be his front man with the cards and everything. And
yeah.
now, I mean, we're always racing, so I don't have the opportunity to go to Saratoga any longer, which, I mean, we all know how special a place that truly is. They just broke all those records for handle and everything else.
We'll recap in a minute.
The place is phenomenal. There's no question about that, but for me, and Matt has given me a lot more responsibilities here at Prescal. I've basically become his assistant. So I'm doing everything from soup to nuts, Steve, with him in regards to this racetrack. And I love the challenge. I mean, it gets challenging at times where you go home at night and you want to pass out, you know, because you're so exhausted from everything. And doing the show, I do all the handicapping, you know, so it's not easy, but it is so rewarding to be part of this. And I mean, I am, and like I said, a lot of my friends from Lexington think I'm crazy, but I am so passionate about this place. I love this place.
That's tremendous. I give everybody a little bit of a handicapping primer for those that you know, that want to look at the signal and get familiar, because it is there's certain formful elements to this that are that make it a favorite. There's plenty of people that Dick Powell himself, I mean, Dick loves playing this for just the reasons we're talking about. You know, the fitness levels, watching horses race into condition, race into shape, and then hold their form. And you know, essentially, there's the harness. I mean, for those of you that like harness, this has got a kind of a similar feel.
You think, Steve? You're breaking my heart now. You're comparing us to standard brands.
Well, no.
In
terms of form cycle and in terms of horses that you're going to see, you're not going to see a horse run here and then not see them for 6 weeks.
No, that's very true. That is very
true.
You're right.
They'll run three times in 6 weeks.
You're right. You're right.
And so you get, you know, you are getting exposure. It's an old school. It's really the maxims of old school handicapping can be dusted off for a venue like this.
That's true.
The Tom Ainsley, you know, the handicapping guide about form and
I still have that book.
Everybody still has that book, and it's still, and even though it's dated in regards to certain elements like weight and so forth, and certain, you know, condition elements, a lot of that form cycle concept absolutely comes into play here.
No doubt, but I think the biggest thing that you need to learn as a new handicapper at Presque Isle, and this comes into a lot of you, and you know, I worked at a lot of breeding farms. I used to work, you know, I was the assistant to the chairman of the board, former chairman of the board of Breeders' Cup, Tom Lute at Finery. I ran, you know, Penridge for a couple years. I was a general manager there, ran that. Came back down, worked for Ben Walden at Paul's Mills. Started off, you know, Summerbird, and you know, had Bellamy Road when he got very hot that year, and we did very well with that horse. But to me, this racetrack is, the pedigrees are so important.
Good point. That's a great point.
It's so incredibly important. And what I have found throughout that, and me being a pedigree guy, what I have found so important about Presque Isle is emerging sire lines that you have here and you have to use. Unfortunately, they've expatriated Animal Kingdom. Incredible sire for Prescow Downs.
For the synthetic.
Yes. If you have an Animal Kingdom and you see him in the form, you got to bet the horse. There's just no two ways around
it. Auto bet.
You have to do it because they are just absolutely incredible here. Another new emerging sire line, Temple City. Doing outstanding here.
Interesting.
And you know what? You know what? The horse I just really never even thought that would do it well here was Distorted Humor. Outstanding here. Sons of Distorted Humor.
The late elements of the late stages of his stud career. Distorted Humor absolutely bubbled to the surface as a top synthetic sire.
And it just, you wouldn't think that. You would think he would be straight dirt and that would be it. But they do well here. The Sons of Him, Drosselmeyer's, the Dramedies even, you know, which was a very much lesser horse of his. They do well here. It's unbelievable. So that is the first thing that I always do. I look at pedigrees. English Channel does well here. You know, I mean, you can't really, you know, he was a sire that, you know, he stood for $25,000, which I thought he was just incredibly overpriced at that price point. But if you could have got him at the 12.5, then it's a different ballgame. They run incredibly well here. You see a lot of those Calumet horses that they have bred come up here and do extremely, extremely well.
You would think it's early yet. You would think Keen Ices get.
We've had a few that can run here a little bit. Yeah,
you would think that. In fact, all that the Donegal, you know, Dale Romans type, those the turfy, you mm-hmm. know, the turfy types that, you know, that campaign toward Derby and the like that have made. That have made their way, you know, to the breeding shed.
But I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I look at, obviously, when I handicap here. And Steve, I have an unfair advantage because, A, I pretty much know every single person that's stabled here. It's just, I mean, I've been here since the inception. I've been here for so long, and you learn to, you know, you learn the people, you learn their habits, you know what they're doing, you know the horses, you know whether or not you, and Steve, I mean, let's face it. You always hear scuttlebutt on the backside about a horse doing well, a horse not doing well, or the competitors are telling you that horse isn't ready, that horse isn't fit, I outworked this horse. You know how it is. It's just part of the nuance of our game, which is so fantastic. It's like yesterday. If you watched yesterday in the fifth race was a maiden special for two-year-olds. Well, a horse called Yes Day, it was a Creative Cause, and one of my very dear friends, Chris Shelley, bred the horse, along with a couple other guys. Glenn Wismer had the horse, and I don't know how well you know Mr. Wismer, but what a great gentleman he is, and he is incredibly fantastic.
He's been
as
on a couple
trainer.
Times over the years.
He's unbelievable, and he's got some of the greatest stories in the world, but he's like, I think my horse is going to run today. So if Mr. Wismer tells you, I think my horse is going to run today, You better listen to Mr. Wismer. Guess what? I put the horse on top yesterday, paid $16.60. First-time starter. So, you know, you find those things, and that's what I'm here to do for the public, is to let them know, hey, this horse is live. I put it, Steve, you see my sheet. I brought this as a thing. This is my sheet from yesterday. The circles are winners. Those are my top three selections in each one. And you see in the fifth, I have Glenn Wismer's horse right there.
There you go. Yes, they.
So I told everybody, $16.60 winner. So, you know, That's what Matt has me here for. He goes, I don't care. You know, you don't have to always bet, you know, have long shots on there. He goes, I just want you to pick winners
for
the public.
When you're looking at incoming horses, not the ones that have had regular starts here.
Sure.
Patrick Morrell with us, by the way, who I've known for forever. I mean,
long time.
Literally.
Long time.
Forever. Since I started, you know, doing this, so 15, 17 years. The horses coming in, I think one of the things that intimidates people, and we're dealing with this right now at Kentucky Downs.
Correct, yeah.
The horses that are making surface switches and trying to interpret how they're going to take to the surface. And what other clues and pedigree, you obviously are stressing that's
it's incredibly
job
important.
One,
yeah, it's incredibly
one.
Important.
But is there anything else in a dirt horse's performances that hint at potential success here? Whether, you know, for instance, I mean, speed, the idea that synthetic surfaces generally blunt speed, that the horse that the fields stay
tightly bunched,
yeah. And much more like a turf race. And of course, from day one, the assumption was that these synthetic surfaces were going to play like a turf surface. Horses' hooves are going to stick as opposed like they do on turf, as opposed to slide like they do on dirt before they break over. And the toughest equation is looking at the dirt horses and trying to make a determination who's going to translate to this surface. That is, I think, one of the things that inhibits serious players from taking on a circuit like this.
Well, I think you're right, but if you would have been here yesterday, I wish you would have been able to come to the races yesterday for Labor Day, because I'll tell you why. There are times, too, and you also have to factor in track bias, and we all know that. Yesterday, Steve, if you were on the engine, it was the kiss of death. One race out of eight, one on the engine, okay?
Wow.
You had horses literally that had 10 length leads turning for home and get caught. So if you start to see a bias or anything in addition to that, then you can start playing that angle, even with dirt horses. Now, there are times we have horses coming in, let's say from Saratoga. We've had that this year. They've been running on the dirt. Do we always think that they can't run on this? No, because obviously they're getting a drop down in class. We know that. We know how tough the horses are up there. So we will factor that in. Now, there have been times, Steve, where I have played dirt horses and put them on top, bud. And guess what? They hate this racetrack. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
You know, this is not an exact science that we have here at Prescott or any other racetrack for that matter. If it was, the 3-5 shot would win every single time. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, you just have to go back to your handicapping fundamentals. And that's what I always tell our fans. You've got to find your fundamentals. And whatever you want to do to use for your fundamentals, then you stick to that. Are you going to be successful all the time? No, you're not going to be. We just had a gentleman come in from California the other day. He doesn't even look at a form. He does everything the way his father taught him, off of the morning line, and he always takes the third selection, and it has to be at least 5-1 or more, third or fourth selection, 5-1 or more, and then it has to go off at least 5-1 or more, and he's a statistics guy. He plays statistically.
Wow.
If that's what you want to do, then that's what you do.
Yeah.
But to me, it's, you know, I also look at, is this horse changing distance? All right. Is this horse getting a class drop?
Sure.
We all know that it's the fundamental stuff, Steve. It's no different here than it is anywhere else. But fundamentally, it's incredibly important that you stick to those fundamentals. Because, yes, you are playing the averages, and you are going to win eventually. Even if you do lose three or four in a row, you're going to come back and you're going to win. But I think the other thing is, too, Steve, that a lot of people forget, this is such a cerebral game. And that's why it's so hard for us to get some of the younger people into it, because they want that instant gratification. They don't want to have to work for it. And this, you have to, Steve, every day, guess what, bud? 3 hours on this, at least every day. Then I type it up. Then I put it on Twitter. You know, and then, you know, and it's not easy. And there's days, listen, Steve, I come to work and I might have a headache and I don't really feel like doing it, but I know that I have to. But you have to put, my point to all of that is, you have to, A, follow the circuit. You have to learn the nuances of this racetrack. You have to put in your homework. You don't get through college. You and I didn't get our degrees because we didn't go to class and take our test.
Well, it's a good thing we don't have my academic dean, Dean Dobbins, here to talk about being thrown out for a year from Colgate, but because I was actually not attending class.
You were attending the race
because I was football games and hockey games, yep. and the Colgate Maroon and WRCU, and I forgot that I was actually there to take some classes. So,
that's
a point well made.
Yeah.
I did have to dig in take a couple of extras my senior year to make sure I got out.
Well, where I went, we had Wheeling Downs right there.
Oh my gosh!
So I was at the Greyhound. In fact, I have a Greyhound laying on the couch right now, I'm sure, with all 4 feet near sound asleep. But, you know, my mother always told me, she's like, we're so glad we spent all that money on that fancy education for you, because you got a minor in dog racing too. But she forgot, in between the dogs, we were betting the horses from Gulfstream and everything else. So it was a beautiful education, let me put it that way.
Patrick Morrell is with us, and actually, you mentioned, you know, putting it on Twitter, and I you know what, now that you say that, I should I see the sheet and I realize
that's me every day at PMO's Picks.
That's well. See that this is why.
Yep. At PMO's Picks. That's me.
Unbelievable. PMO's. There it is. We follow each other.
Yeah.
And I've seen the thing, and I for whatever reason.
That's me.
I'm an idiot. That's unbelievable. How have I not really latched patch? I'm embarrassed.
No, don't, Steve. I wouldn't be embarrassed.
I'm surprised.
Trust me, there's days I'm embarrassed the picks I put on there, but it's just the way it is. Yesterday was a great day. I mean, top three selections. I had all eight, you know, so, I mean, that was a wonderful day and three straight winners. So,
you know, because I know we've sat around and played years ago, but what's your bet of choice? And How do you?
I mean, our pick fives yesterday were paying very, very well. I love the pick fives. We love, obviously, love just the straight win bets. There's no question about that. I still think, without regard, the favorite of mine and all the time, especially, you know, when we have big days like Breeders' Cup Day, is the Exacta. I still think it's probably the very best bet here in America. I've always felt that. I love doing it. And but it just depends on what our fans want to bet. A lot of these people, you know, you have the older couples that come in. I have an older couple, Steve, that comes in here from Crawford County, and it's about a 40-minute drive for them, and they love to play a little show parlay. That's what they do.
It's old school.
And yeah, old school, and him and her. And guess what they do? They bring their own snacks and everything, and they sit there, and I get to talk to them, and they're just wonderful, and they both have lost their spouses that they had. They were married for, you know, 50 years before, but they found each other. And I love stories like that for our fans that come in, and that's what they do. And they just have a good time. They spend eight races here. Yeah, are they wagering a lot of money? No, they're not. But you know what? They're here. They're enjoying. You know, I always say on my show, this is Pennsylvania's greatest place to race. And to me, I really, truly, with all my heart, Steve, believe that it is. We have such a safe racetrack. We've got a great environment here. It's very, very friendly towards people. You know, and, you know, I talk to a lot of people every day, and I want their experience here at Prescal to be special. I don't want them to go back and say, oh, that's a dump, or that's this, or that's that. And because I think a lot of times we've gotten away as racetracks, some people have gotten away from catering to the people that are here that help keep our jobs going for us. I think it's incredibly important that we get more in tune with our fans. But yeah, I mean, I think that whatever the fan wants to do in regards to wagering, yeah, that's great. But we do. I have a group of guys here. They play the pick five consistently every day. They might put $1,000 in there every afternoon. And I love seeing that. But that's why I try to give them good picks to get them live and get them ready to go. And I mean, there are days they hit, you know, $1,500, $2,000 pick fives.
Sure, of course.
And I mean, listen, we're not going to get these big giant, because we don't have big giant fields all the time.
Seven, eight, nine.
Right.
Yeah, kind of a middle number in terms of field size.
Correct.
And in fact, when Dick and I would do the multi-race sequences, Dick likes to play pick threes, and he'll play the bigger pick X's as well. But he would generally do a sequence or doubles in the last two thirds of the card.
That
you can,
right.
You can just sort of see the fields, and that, listen, that's true everywhere. I mean, we do that. We see that Saratoga. I mean, the first three, four races will have five to eight, and then the fields kind of fill out from there. Speaking of which, you know, with Saratoga ending yesterday, and of course we got to do some Kentucky Downs recapping as well. What are you doing during the winters?
During the winters, well, basically what we do, we're going to run this year until October 27th. That's our last day. Then head back down to Lexington. I do some bloodstock work.
Yep. Morel Bloodstock.
Morel Bloodstock LLC. And, you know, we've had some really good luck. I mean, I bought a Grade One winner for $3,000, you know, yearling.
That was amazing.
So that was a classic. You know, so that was absolutely incredible. We've done some very, you know, I buy a lot of breeding stock is what I really, you know, tend to focus on.
Mares
a lot for Warriors Reward LLC, those guys from Central PA, and that's all to support Warriors Reward. I mean, those guys have almost 200 head of horses right now that these Warriors Rewards, and then they're all Virginia certified, so they're going to do very well.
You know, and you know who would have been, Mr. Miles would have really enjoyed
that
oh,
for
my
sure.
God. I mean, that's you know, I happen to be it's Ian,
yeah,
and Tracy and me in the win photo of the Carter.
Oh, that's incredible! Yeah, that's awesome.
That was it. That was.
Yeah, he's just such a cool horse, and they're adorable, Steve. They last, and so. But yeah, that's what we do. I have my girlfriend help me, and she's really doing well here as a trainer, Cassandra Judd. She has
okay.
She started last year. She's like, I just want to win. I just want to break my maiden. Well, she ended up winning four races, so she was incredibly happy, and she had basically a 3-horse barn. So she was incredibly happy with that.
Tremendous.
She came back. She already has 3 wins this year. She's doing very well, picking up new clients, and people are starting to take notice of her. So
what's her background?
She actually used to, she was always into show horses for a long time. And then she got the racetrack bug. She used to gallop for Bill Mott. She galloped for Wayne Catalano. She's done a lot. She was Burnell Roan's assistant at Canterbury.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's doing incredibly well here and very in tune. And then she worked at Rude and Riddle with a lot of the vets there. So she has a very good, the veterinary background.
Sure.
So that certainly helps her out, Steve, a lot. And she's doing great. But we go down there and we do that. And, there's times where I kind of wish I had a real job in the winter. But then the next sale comes up and you get excited and you go buy more horses. And that's, that's what we do. Then we come back up here in April and, before you know it, and we come up here and it's spitting snow in April. And you just hang in there because summer's coming. So
is there anything that you made me think too? Is there anything coming up that you can publicize for yourself at Keeneland and Timonium?
Well, Timonium, I don't really go down to Timonium that much, even though I bought a Grade 1 winner there for $3,000. I like to recapture that magic. But it's the racetrack. We have so many responsibilities here, Steve, that for me to get away now, it's just incredibly difficult, which is fine. But that is my job, so I'm not.
But there's
no
any clients selling or anything that any.
I don't just a lot of guys that like my Warriors Reward guys that I buy a lot of horses for. They're pretty much all in on the racing, and they love the racing. And Steve, they're really not selling.
Interesting.
They're not selling anymore the way they were because they have all these Warriors Rewards that they're gonna that they have flooded. For lack of a better term, flooded the market with it. There's a lot coming, too. A lot of two-year-olds coming. And you're going to see those horses run for the next probably 4 or 5 years and do extremely well, Steve. There's no question about that, especially in this Pennsylvania program.
One-turn types?
I think they'll stretch out, too. I really do.
Depending on the bottom?
Yep, I absolutely agree. I mean, if you're breeding them to these cheap speed mares, then that is what you're going to get, the speedy horses, the 5.5, 6 furlong horses. But, I think if you breed them to a little bit more stamina on the dam side, you're going to get some route horses out of it. No question. And they run on anything. Steve, that's the best part about those Warriors Rewards. They run on dirt. They run on turf. They run on tapeta. They run on broken glass if you want them to. They don't care. They just run, and they're durable.
Like you.
So, yeah, I'm getting up there a little bit, buddy. Going to be 55. I can't believe it.
Relax.
It's not any fun.
Yeah.
50, I mean, I kind of, but Steve, you got to remember, too, I started late. I started when I was 39. I gave up my corporate life because I loved thoroughbred racing so much. I was very, very fortunate. I got to work for Tom Lute, and he gave me a shot at Vinery, and, the rest is history. After the second day, I wanted to leave, and the farm manager, Mikey Callanan, a very dear friend of mine, he got a six-pack of beer, and I got a buzz, and I decided, hey, I'm going to tough this out. I'm going to stay. And all those years later, here I am, and, getting this opportunity was incredibly important to me. I mean, it's not every day that a kid from a steel town or county.
Beaver Falls.
Joe Namath, my grandfather, very good friends with his dad. I got to meet him when I was like 4 years old. It was unbelievable. We had, football was king where I was from.
Sure.
I played in high school. I was a quarterback in high school. Unfortunately, 5'8", 135 pounds, didn't really work out for Pimo.
Were you the...
And I went to a little small Catholic school, so we didn't win very many games.
Are you the model for Am Pipe, for the kid, for all the right moves?
No. I wasn't even that good. That was down in, they filmed that in Weirton, West Virginia, which is another steel town just down the Ohio River, not that far.
That's
on
funny.
The way to Wheeling, yeah. So, but it was definitely for me to be able to go ahead and do that. And Steve, I think the thing is to the opportunities that I have been afforded because of thoroughbred racing. And I know we as a community, a lot of us, we get negative publicity. Steve, you see it every day. You talk about it. I listen to you for how many years now, and we've talked about the negative publicity we've got, you know, over the years. But this game has afforded me the opportunity to do things that people of, you know, of my caliber and people that lived and grew up where I grew up never would get to do if it wasn't for the connections that the thoroughbred game has given to me. I mean, where else in the world can princes and paupers rub elbows? They do.
Oh, no,
whether it's the groom or the guy that's a billionaire, you know?
I talk about it all the time, and I haven't gone to Ciro's in forever, but I used to talk about the scene at Ciro's when we used to go after every race day at Saratoga, and there you were at the bar, and here's somebody that's tapped out, you know, in a blazer and the guy in jeans and or shorts is buying everybody drinks because he's flush
and because he can hit a lick.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's the thing, you know, I ended up an example of that is I ended up becoming very close with a guy named Micah McKinney, and they owned his father and him owned the Lazy E Ranch in Guthrie, Oklahoma. And that's the largest quarter horse breeding farm in the world. Well, I was working for TRM back then, and I ended up selling them some products. And he's like, you know, I want to get into some more thoroughbreds. I like the New Mexico program.
Yeah.
So we ended up buying them some mares, and it worked out. I mean, these guys have a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. And ended up, I bought American Anthem for him, too.
Oh, really?
So it's kind of mushroomed through that. But if I wouldn't have had these connections in the thoroughbred industry, that's my point. These things wouldn't have happened.
American Anthem was a Aaron Yagoda pinhook.
A Bodie, yeah, the Bodie Meister.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because it really hit home for me. One of my college roommates ended up buying the horse, Donnie Tiger. He's big into standardbreds. He has a horse called Charlie May that he bred. And he did that, and he said he was shaking when he was bidding on the horse. I think he paid $185,000 for him. He said he was shaking so bad he didn't know what to do. He goes, then I had to write out the check. He goes, I almost wanted to die. And the horse just didn't really work out for him. He ended up getting some of the money back, and then what he sold the horse for, he got out of it. So you never know. Everything comes full circle.
There's a get-out race. There's a get-out horse.
Exactly.
Pat Morrell, unbelievable. Pimo's Picks. Follow Pat on Twitter. It's so great to see you and to be here at Presque Isle. I kind of landed like a bird on a wire. So
well, when Matt Ennis told me you were coming today, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, he goes, do you know this guy? And he showed me your number with your picture, and I'm like, do I know that guy? Yeah, I know that guy for sure. No question about that. But I hope you have a blast here, Steve. You know, and like I said, this racetrack is absolutely incredible. We've got a great product here. You know, we have Twin Spires behind us, which is, to me, one of the best ADWs in the business without question. They do a fantastic job, and we're part of the first family of racing. Of course, that's Churchill Downs.
Patrick Morrell, everybody. And it's funny, another Chuck Simon connection, because
exactly.
Phil D'Amato is on the line, and we're going to bring Phil in after a tremendous weekend. And I think we all kind of knew, as we say good morning to Phil D'Amato, on the heels of a couple of more graded stake wins over the weekend. And
yeah, how big a year is he having?
Well,
unbelievable.
Here he is. Phil, where are you? You on there?
Yeah, Steve, how you doing?
There he goes.
There you go. Pat, do you know
Phil? I just know Phil from being in the industry. That's all. I never got to meet him or anything.
Well, he worked for Chuck, and you palled around with Chuck. Phil, you know, looking when we handicapped the weekend, it was obvious that you were poised. But, you know, that's never a guarantee, right?
No. I mean, this meet in particular, you know, everyone gears up for it. And has their horses ready, so you just got to be on your toes here, and ready to fire away.
Start with Hong Kong Harry and the Del Mar Mile, and you know, obviously Flavian Pratt spending the summer in New York, and yet comes back for the weekend and comes back for the big day for Pat Classic Day and Flightline. But boy, he rode him with such confidence, Phil. It was, and he had ridden him, of course, in his first North American start. But I was amazed. He just sort of kind of cruised up and went on by. I mean, 6-5, he looked like a 3-5.
Yeah, you know, the horse had been training, you know, very well. Like you said, Flavian knew him already a little bit. But the thing about Flavian is, you know, he's going to be in the right place more times than not. He's got an excellent clock. He knows, you know, if they're going to go too fast or too slow and where to be, you know, and he knew they were winging up front, just had Harry in a nice tactical position, got his feet under him, and when he thought the time was right, he pushed the button and made it look pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I don't think you and I have really talked much about him leading up to today, even though he won that American. I don't think we talked after that. Of course, the Eddie Reed masterpiece, who went in the handicap at the end of the card, we'll talk about in a minute, and you vanquished him with Gold Phoenix. But talk a little bit about, you know, this five-year-old who really has kind of low mileage at this point, and he's 8-12, Phil, at this juncture in his career.
You know, he's like a medium-sized horse. I give all the credit to bloodstock agent Craig Rounsfell. He liked him at the Tattersall's sale, and for his longtime clients, Jimmy Ukagawa, Scott Anastasi, and company. And you know, when I got him, he was just kind of a horse. You could just tell he just needed plenty of time to acclimate. And I had owners that were, you know, great at just doing that and get his feet right. He didn't have the greatest feet on him, so it just gave him plenty of time to let those feet grow out and chew them accordingly. And I swear, this horse has just blossomed. And I think every race has been better than the next. And he's just a horse with the attitude to him, a nice turn of foot, and I think, you know, horse with a nice future ahead of him.
What's notable, too, those first two starts back in the spring, in March and April, and he won both. He two allowance conditions, cleared the first with Pratt and then with Ramon Vasquez, and he did it attending moderate paces. Then, with the American win, And even in the Eddie Reed, and now with this performance, he's even more relaxed early. And I wouldn't say he's coming with one run exactly. It feels like he's got, you know, kind of tactical speed to be, you know, to be called on maybe a couple of different times.
Yeah, this horse, he can make multiple moves in a race. He does have tactical speed. He can't sit up close. He can sit further back. You know, these are the horses that are really effective at a mile, mile and an eighth, right around there. He's such a handy horse. But, you know, the other intangible is he just has that will to win. You give him a target ahead of him, and he's going to try his hardest to run him down. And, you know, those are the hard ones to find, have the ability and the heart, and he possesses both.
Well, there's a few things, actually, maybe with tomorrow with Sid Fernando. I'm going to have to follow up with him, because this is a pedigree that, I mean, you'd have to be at Tattersall's or Goff's to know anything about this family. SK Love and out of a Gold Away mare. I mean, I don't think there's too many North American pedigree players that you know, can wax philosophic about this pedigree. So I'm going to turn that over to Sid tomorrow, and we're going to look forward with him. I mean, what do you think? What's the path forward? What kind of targets?
You know, he's not Breeders' Cup nommed, So I just think at this stage, the Breeders' Cup being at Keeneland, even though he's a Euro, I think he's a horse that is more effective on a firmer turf course. So to pay all that money to gamble that it's going to be firm at Keeneland that weekend and running against Euros, I just told the owners I don't think it makes dollar cents for them. So we'll run them in something like the City of Hope at Santa Anita, and maybe wait for the Sea Biscuit at Del Mar, and then put them away, give them a nice little break, and point for the big mile races next year with them.
Hong Kong Harry and five-year-old gelding that has only made 12 starts and clearly is going to be a force down the road. I don't know how often we're going to get 6-5 on him again, but the Del Mar mile win. And for people that were shopping for a price that were trying to beat him, Phil, your other player here, Kathkin Peak, was getting plenty of consideration. And in fact, he was 4-1 morning line. He went off at a little under 7-2. So he took a little lick. But there were people that were, when I looked at anybody and with people we talked to on, including I think Jay Pribman and Scott Shapiro, I think everybody was sort of saying, well, if it's not going to be Hong Kong Harry, it's Phil's other horse.
Yeah, that's a nice horse too. I just think you haven't seen the best of him yet. He's got maybe, he can go maybe a little bit further than Harry, and Harry got the jump on him the other day. He's a nice horse, too. He might need more mile and an eighth, to point to something like that, mile and an eighth, mile and a quarter, just to kind of use his stamina more than so much turn of foot. But he's a nice horse. Harry just got the jump on him the other day. He come running late. And I don't think you've seen the best of that horse yet either.
Well, he's a four-year-old gelding. And again, fairly unusual names involved, although Footsteps in the Sand Dam, Drumcliff Dancer, that one, that's we know. I'm going to turn these both over to Sid. Who's that? Tell me about, I see, what was that, Michael Netwig, Sterling Stables?
Yes, yeah, they own Kathkin Peak. Niall Dalton, bloodstock agent, with Michael Donahue, they found Kathkin Peak. They found Gold Phoenix, who won the Del Mar Handicap. So they're another go-to team for bloodstock agents for me. They do an excellent job, and had a great Del Mar, thanks to both those guys.
I would say, and of course, there's still another week to come. Let's talk about the handicap, and you kind of threw the kitchen sink at them here, Phil, and that includes, as you mentioned, Gold Phoenix, a little under 4-1, and Masterpiece from the outside draw. Gold Phoenix, the benefit of the inside draw, the benefit of Flavian Pratt as well, and I'm not going to tell you that you kind of ripped my heart out a little bit, because I was all over Dicey Moshera, and I thought as Johnny was coming up the inside, I thought I'm going to get everything here, and there was Gold Phoenix rallying as well, and Masterpiece was hanging in too, so I ended up rebuffed, but Gold Phoenix takes the Del Mar handicap.
Yeah, he's a horse. He just came in and he needed time off right away. You know, it's just one of those things, little things. So we gave him plenty of time. Billy Koch, Gary Fenton, Little Red Feather Racing. These guys have been great to me my whole career. But they're excellent about that. We just gave him time. And this horse, he came in with very high expectations. And he's just kind of been one of these horses that's been slow to develop. But he's a big, giant, good-looking horse. I mean, he's an Adonis looking of a horse. And he's just steadily improved, incrementally, I should say, from race to race. He had a lot of trouble in his allowance race prior to the Del Mar Handicap, but come flying late and galloped out great. Flavian knew him from the past a little bit. I just told Flavian, he's like my poor man's United. He doesn't have the greatest turn of foot. You have to really put him in the spots to get him to where he needs to be. You kind of need to, you know, put him there rather than he's not going to be there push-button style. And but he's the kind of horse, once you get him going, he will run all day. And another masterful ride by Flavian. And I'm saved the ground, angled out, and nailed the favorite at the right on the wire.
Well, and you mentioned the ability to go extended distances. This will be, there's a 4-year-old gelding. This is a horse that you can have a lot of fun with in California. There's countless opportunities all year long, both Santa Anita and at Del Mar.
Yeah, we'll definitely have some fun with him. We won the winning year in birth, so he is unlike a lot of these horses that I get that look like they're solely Europeans that'll appreciate fast ground. He's one of the few where I think he could handle any kind of surface. He's just, he just kind of gets rumbling and doesn't stop. He wouldn't have blown out a match in the winner's circle there. So I don't think he'll mind that Keeneland turf course. We'll see about the company. He's going to have to run against some high-notch East Coast horses and some specialists from Europe. But I kind of like this horse to be a dark horse kind of play over there, and we'll see what we can do over there.
Very good. People will be notating that as they listen in to Phil D'Amato as we recap the big weekend. And Phil had, you know, plenty of opportunities, had a nice set of positive results. And we'll talk about a couple near misses. Should quickly ask, though, Master of Foxhounds and Greg Dar coming out of this.
Yeah, Master of Foxhounds, he's one he's trained spectacularly going into that race. And I just don't know if I've found the key yet. I'm going to keep searching. But I think he's a horse that needs to, you know, keep running against those horses. He's definitely a fit. It's just trying to find his best style. He made the lead there, kind of like in mid-stretch, and then gave it up a little bit. But he's a horse that just got to figure out his style. But I'm not down on that horse at all. I think he's got a future, but I'll figure him out. And Greg Dar, you know, he's one of those jack-of-all-trades kind of horses. You could run him at a mile. You could run him at a mile and a quarter, mile and three-eighths. I think he kind of hit his distance limitations the other day. I don't think I'd run him that far again. But I mean, I think he finished mid-pack. But I think I'd, you know, you'll see him more in the mile ranks, mile and eighth, something like that.
Let's talk about the Derby result. And in here, Phil, this group got lulled to sleep, and boy, there was a handicapping lesson that I thought came up after the wire, which was I was so concerned about, let's see, slow down, Andy, will he make the transition to grass? It didn't even occur to me to think about the pace and the potential for him to just get out there and kind of, you know, go around in very even. In fact, how even were the fractions? 24 flat, 24 and 3. Then another 23 and 4, 24 flat. And then actually came home fast, actually. Came home 11 and 2. So a very clever ride by Mario Gutierrez. And here you were with Balnikov coming out of the good performance in the Oceanside, and he was rallying. It just, you know, there was no getting to the runners up front.
Yeah, anytime you're sitting last by 10 lengths and they're going three quarters and 13 against good horses, it's going to be a long haul to run those horses down. Yeah. And he came flying in something like 22 flat. I mean, just crazy.
Wow.
Crazy fast late. But, yeah, hey, what are you going to do? That's horse racing. The horse's style is to, you know, get covered up and come with the run. In hindsight, do I wish he pressed the button earlier? Yeah, and I think he probably would tell you the same thing. But sometimes when you tinker with horses' styles, you're not going to get the final kick like you would if you just let him do the thing that he likes to do best. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I didn't fault Umberto at all. Horse came back good, and he'll live to fight another day. But he's a nice horse too. He's only three. He's got crazy. He's got a crazy final late kick, and he's a horse that can mature and develop into a nice miler down the road, I think, as well.
Now he's hasn't been worse than fourth in his five North American starts. He's got the Oceanside. He's got the Grade Two placement at Churchill in the whatever Bourbon 3-year-old race it is now, and can't remember, is it the, I think they're just calling it the American class, I forget. I've given up tracking the Bourbon namings of the turf races. Phil, got to ask you about Desert Dawn, who I came to really have a shine to in the spring. A scenario, good fillies, you know, going slow, essentially, on the dirt. I mean, for that race to go in 23 and change, 46 and 4, 111 and 1, and, Midnight Memories kind of, the two of them just sparring, Desert Dawn behind, and there's just no getting by.
No, my filly ran great. Bob's filly ran better. She Desert Dawn, she's got that nice big closing kick, but I think she relishes a little pace to run at, and any time, that other horse got that three quarters and 11 and one with a length on her, those Baffert horses, when they can kind of get that fraction, they're going to be tough to beat. We beat the other two in there, but he threw three in, and he got the job done. But we're proud of our filly. She tried hard, and she's only 3 year old. She's this big framed, lighter bodied filly that's slowly filling out. And the owners, Elena and Holly Krim, they're great people to work for. We're gonna probably run her maybe one more time, and then put her away. Let her mature, and hopefully we have a really nice four-year-old campaign with her.
Should also note, before I ask you about what's coming up this week, Coulthard in the Green Flash, third as well.
Yeah, that was a fast time here. I don't think I've seen that fast a time at the meet. Hats off to Lieutenant Dan. He's a top-class sprinter. He finished second in the Breeders' Cup last year. And he got a nice dream trip up the rail. My horse, he tried. He ran a valiant third, and then one more jump, I think we get second. But, we'll try him at Santa Anita. But Lieutenant Dan, he looked great. And for one of my owners, Nick Alexander, who breeds a horse better than, as good as any. So, hopefully we can turn the tables at Santa Anita.
Well, he breeds them as good as any, but he names them even better. He's Nick
Absolutely.
Alexander. Can't say no. Can't say no, Nick. And he's got so many fun sports names and Hollywood names and historic names. One of the really, I always, when I get to see Nick, Johnny D introduced me to Nick Alexander several years ago. I just like saying, can't say no, Nick. That's one of my, whenever Nick's name comes up, can't say no. Let's ask about, speaking of turf sprinters, what about Gregorian Chant at Kentucky Downs this week?
Yeah, we're going to monitor the weather here. It looks like it's going to continue to rain over there.
Yeah,
so
right.
We'll talk to the flight leaves tomorrow. I'm going to talk to the owners today, look at the forecast, and see if we're going to be on that plane or not. He's doing very well. He came off of a nice performance running a mile, actually here at Del Mar. So we'll see. if he shows up or not for Kentucky Downs, but training very well. And if not there, then maybe the Eddie D steak at Santa Anita. But we're just going to let the weather forecast tell us which way we're going to go there.
It's not promising. Let's just tell you that.
Yeah, it looks that way. It looks pretty ominous in the long-term forecast.
As you heard, I'm sitting here at Presque Isle Downs in Erie, and we make the joke at Saratoga, Phil, that when they say when the horses come around the turn for the last race, you can feel the cool breeze of fall. And they weren't kidding, because it was like somebody threw one of those master switches, like in Young Frankenstein. And it has gone from, 80 to 50 literally overnight. And it's just the craziest thing. And in fact, driving here on my way to Kentucky, noting that the trees had already started. I mean, it's going to be, it seems like fall is here. And unfortunately, for Kentucky Downs, they got that card in yesterday. Let me ask you, though, about Del Mar. We're not going to have to worry about the weather there. Tell me about the maiden, Lapeer.
Yeah, she's a filly. She found a bunch of trouble the other day, but she probably was, she probably caused it herself. Just a first-timer running on the grass for the first time. Big, giant, striding filly. Put a little set of blinkers on her for this next race. She's had a couple nice breezes, and we're able to land Flavian in a nice post position. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do. She acts like a filly that should, should get better going a further distance. So, excited to see what she does this week.
You've also got one that has been kind of looking to break through for a while, Decade of Dreams, trying to get over here in the second.
Yeah, she's a filly. I haven't had her for too long, but I just steadily getting to know her. She strikes me as a filly. She's got a lot of speed, I think she's probably better on the grass, the way her action is. She's actually a half sister to Midnight Storm, who is a nice horse for me and a stallion now.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to see what she can do this week. She has no excuses. Second off the bench for me, and put a really good tightener in her the other day. So she'll shoot out there, and we'll see how far she can take it. But she sure has a lot of speed.
Phil D'Amato, everybody, and a terrific weekend as part of the Pacific Classic action, and then into Sunday with the Torrey Pines and the Green Flash, and another weekend to close out at Del Mar. How many more you got to run over the weekend?
Only David Jerkins knows. We'll see how many. He's the racing secretary here. See what races he uses and not. But we have two more days of racing and a ton of horses to enter. So it's as I think does everyone else. It gets that way here, closing the weekend. Everyone just enters the kitchen sink. But we've got a lot of nice live ones to enter, and hopefully a lot of good shots.
I should ask, Phil, what's the trainer standings? What you got a shot there? Well, you got like 15, 16 wins, right?
I don't know. I think it'll depend on how many horses I get in. I'm down a few. I think there's must be like five or six trainers all within, two or three wins from each other. So in that aspect, we'll see. But I do have some nice shots coming up this weekend, so hopefully we can make it close.
Phil D'Amato, everybody, you can follow Phil on Twitter, and Phil, good luck the rest of the way. Well done, congratulations to everybody, Little Red Feather, and all the other partner and owners that were part of the victories this weekend, and we'll talk soon.
You got it, Steve. Thank you.
Not at all. Phil D'Amato, everybody. And there you go. First hour in the books. We're actually almost 10 minutes into hour two. Got to take a break. Got to take a break. But then we'll come back and delighted to have Paula Bacon and Tim Gurton here to talk a little bit more Presque Isle. We've got leading trainer. We've got top jock agent that had her own terrific career, winner of 500-600 races. There you go. Got an affirmative from Paula. You know I'm going to put up your jockey card. I went out and got your, you know, I got the jockey
card. Oh, that's cute.
Everybody loves all this, right? I don't know why they don't still do it.
I don't either, because everybody loves those. I still get requested, you know, people send me notes in the mail to mail them cards.
That's great.
It's bizarre.
And or
because I'm like, you know,
autograph.
Yeah.
Is there a bobblehead?
No.
There's no Paula Bacon bobblehead?
No.
No. At the races, we're coming to you from Presque Isle Downs, which was, I said it yesterday as a lark. I said, drive me to Kentucky. You said, maybe we'll broadcast from Presque Isle. Well.
And we're sitting here freezing.
It's unbelievable. And you're wearing shorts, Gordon. What's your story? You're just one of those guys that wears shorts in the winter. All right. We get them in upstate New York. We get them. There's a kid that works at the auto parts store, and he walks by the house every morning and back after he doesn't have a car. It's funny. He works at an auto parts shop and doesn't have a car. But it could be 8 below. And there he goes with wearing shorts. It's the, you know, with and galoshes.
The weather in Erie is very unpredictable.
Well, you live on a lake.
Yeah.
I don't know if you notice. There's a big body of water right there. It's like you know, trailer parks are magnets for tornadoes. Big lakes are a magnet for terrible weather.
Yeah, the lake effect is the real deal.
They joke about it. I mean, I went to school south of Syracuse at Colgate, but I mean, it's the those snow squalls for no reason. There's no snow in the forecast, and all of a sudden you're on the thruway, and here's this giant ball of snow that nobody expected.
I watch their weather from Florida every winter here.
You just laugh,
and I'm just like, holy cow, how do these people do it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. No, I've lived in upstate New York off and on. You know, almost my whole life, and I lived in Montreal 10 years, but it's you got to be a hardy sort. We're going to take this quick break. We'll come back. Tim Gurton and Paula Bacon, and then at the bottom of the hour, Rich Migliori will join us. So between you and Mig, over 5,000 wins.
Nice.
I think 4,500 for Mig.
I don't think you want to compare me to Richard Migliori.
Yeah, he's got 4,500 and you've got 500.
Yeah.
That's 5,000.
Yeah,
people don't parse them out.
Yeah.
We also will check in with Lafitte Benkai III later and Jessica Paquette, because it's Virginia Derby Day.
Nice.
It's Virginia Derby, Virginia Oaks, three more really nice stakes. A very tough pick five ticket to put together. I've written it up. And maybe there'll be a scratch or two to help, but it is a treacherous group of races in terms of trying to pare down. I think I found a single, McPeak. McPeak's got a lot, I think, in that turf sprint. Looks tough. So let's take this break. We're live at Presque Isle in Erie. I had Andy Beyer yesterday. He's from Erie. At the races continues. Stay with us.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions. And offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development.